through. And when he was older, I once went to visit him. He was going to America for Pesach, and I went to his house in the Tanya Talpin Pack. And he was giving me this thing to put in and that thing to put in, and then he gives me this big, heavy package, and he says, "Put this in." So I put it in, and then I ask him, "Zaidi, what is this?" So he says, "Oh, it's my tachrichim." So it's like, what? Like the previous week, he was like a little sick. He had the flu. I was like, "Zaidi, you're okay? What's going on?" I was like taken aback. I felt horrible. It's like, no, no, no. From the time, I don't remember if he said 60 or 70, I started carrying my tachrichim anywhere I go away on a trip. So he said, "Why?" She said, "So if I die, it won't be a burden upon the people around me. My tachrichim will be ready. They won't have to get them." So it blew me away. You know, you read about Lashuv Lufnei Misascha and being ready for death. Now, my grandfather was not a depressed person, Adirabba. His favorite song that he would sing all day was a mitzvah gadol alios besimcha. He was a very, despite having lived a hard life in many ways, a happy person. And for him, I guess, thinking about death wasn't something that made him melancholy or morose, but it gave him energy and inspiration to live life fully. And that's there's one lesson perhaps to learn from Hilchos Avelos. I guess an appropriate introduction to our last year. It is that point that learning about death should inspire us to live better lives. So anyhow, we say in the Gemara, the Rishona Haisa Yitzias Hameis Kasha Lekrova Vyoser Mimisaso Mepnesha Hayu Motzian Alav Yitzios Merubos. Right? What would happen? The poor people would be so would be in big trouble because they used to have expensive funerals and Memela. They couldn't afford it to the point that some people would like leave their mace and run away. So that way, because otherwise they couldn't afford the funeral. So Rabbi Gamliel Zakin was misakin that, well, first of all, it says he was nag kalos ba'atzma. In other words, he himself insisted on a very simple tachrichim bo'tziyu b'klei pishtan, simple pishtan, and that's where the halacha comes from, that all funeral area aspects, whether it's the tachrichim or the coffin or the like, have to be simple. Rabbi Tendler once told me that in his area there were the funeral homes were charging a lot of money for coffins. So he told them that he's going into the coffin business and, I don't know, charging $25 for a coffin. And then they lowered their prices. It's like the story in the Gemara about Shmuel, right?
Was he related or is he fake
news? I don't know. One way or the other, it worked. You know, you can't mess with them by Tendler. I don't know if he was serious or not, but they took him seriously, which was enough. And that's very important. Now, why Pishtun? And you see the poskim say that the entire thing has to be Pishtun, even the strings. The Levush says there's a so gadol shekol kategor nasa sanegor if you use Pishtun. Okay? I don't know what that means, but that's why we're makbid to have Pishtun. Even the threads, every thread should be Pishtun. And that's the psak of the Shulchan Aruch. You're not allowed to use fancy tachrichim. Afilu lenasi shebi Yisrael. You have to use the same ones, simple ones, everybody the same thing. Now, because of the Dark Emotion notes that they should be nice. In other words, they should be nice tachrichim. Why? What do you need to bother with nice tachrichim? Because that shows that you believe in Tchias HaMesim. You know, if you didn't believe in Tchias HaMesim, so what's the point in spending any money on tachrichim? Just get buried without clothing? Or, you know, in the hospital gown that you died in, or whatever it is. Why? We have nice tachrichim, because we believe in Tchias HaMesim. Fine. Tanya Rabbi Nassan Omer, Ksus Hayoredes Im HaMes Ola Im Olasad Lavo. So therefore, Rabbi Yanai told his kids, don't put me in Kelim Levanim, because Shema Loezka, and I'll be like a chassan bein havelim, and don't put me in kelim shchorim. Shem ezke. Person always has to have a degree of uncertainty about where they're holding. It's very hard to know. He knew he was a big talmud chacham. He knew he did a lot of mitzvos, but maybe he could have done more. So therefore, he said, put me in kelim tzivuim tzas. You know, not white, not black, but gray. V'chein ra'ui lasos. But we don't do that. We do everybody in white, so you don't have to worry. Fine. Simen shinun gimel. So, here we have the halachos of how your motzi is hameis. We assume, of course, that pachos mishloshim yom is like a nefel, and the like. There's an interesting shaila that comes up. Of course, a nefel does require kvura, and that's even for a miscarriage or a stillbirth. Once there's some type of tzura that resembles a human being, it's a halacha that people have to be aware of, both in terms of the mitzvah of kvura, as well as in terms of the mitzvah of tumas kohanim. This issue could come up. However, generally speaking, we're machmir after 40 days, but not necessarily. It's an interesting shaila that comes up. What happens if you have a baby that lives 9 months, but it never really was stable at all? It was in a NICU for 9 months. And from the beginning, it could never have really survived at all on its own. So some poskim say that we treat that. We don't say, well, since it's past 30 days, it's not a nafel. Rather, we still continue to treat it as a nafel in an avelus, because it was never really stable. Okay, now with modern technology, you could keep it on, you know, life support for 9 months. And this is not not too uncommon of a shaila, sadly. And many people also advise, for psychological reasons, again, this is something that varies from person to person, but sometimes for psychological reasons, it's easier to move on if you see it as a nafel and not as like a child who died. But again, this is obviously a complex and personal issue. And there's variation. In terms of sivav, it says that if the baby dies before 8 days, you still give it a milah. And not only that, but you give it a name. Why do you give it a name? So the Beis Yosef says, because when there'll be Trias HaMeisim, and you want to be able to find the child, or the child to be able to find the parents. And therefore, we give the child a name, even under those circumstances, sadly. Those very sad circumstances. Okay, Simen Shinun Zayin. So, this is a very important halacha, the Isser of Halana Sameis.
Is that good for giving a name? Is that good for a child who also knew that it will come up on a child, or...
If the child's born, we give them a name. If the child wasn't born, meaning to say it was a miscarriage, so I asked the Chaver Kedisha. This one Shaila came to me, and Rabbi Shachter said, find out the minhag, ask the Chaver Kedisha. It was a late miscarriage. It wasn't an early miscarriage. Very late miscarriage. There was kamat labor, but it was... anyway, so...
According to the
father,
you would not
give
a name, is that correct?
It's not clear. It's not clear. So, for many of these things, we follow the Minhag Olam, and when you want to figure out the Minhag Olam about all these types of questions, you consult the Chaver Kedisha. At least a knowledgeable Chaver Kedisha.
Okay, is there an old Chaver Kedisha Mesorah that goes...
There's a lot of Chaver Kedisha Mesorahs, yeah. A lot of these practices, a lot of things, there's a lot of procedures that are done that that the elders in the Chaver Kedisha know. Okay. Shin Nun Zayin. So, the Pasuk says, Lo salin iv laso ha'etz ki kavor tekurenu bayom ahu, ki kilalas alokim talui velo sitma es ad mascha asher Hashem alokecha nosein lecha nachala. So here we have the mitzvah sase of kfura, the mitzvah lo sase of lo sullen, And that's what we paskin over here. The Gemara Sanhedrin, Menvav, Menzayin, Shulchan Aruch, Vetur, all say, Aser lahalan es hames. It's Aser. L'chvodo, it's mutter, like Lahari lo aron v'tachrichin ulhashmiya ba'ayaros, to publicize it, ulhamtin l'krovav. Okay, we're going to talk about what that is. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Avelos, Perek Dalet, Halacha Ches, V'chol amalin es meso overblo sase, elim kein halinu l'chvodo ulhashlim tzrachav. So the simple understanding of the Rambam is that you're over on a lav if you're male, if you do halanas a meis. However, if you look at the Radvaz on that Rambam, he writes, even though we have a drasha in the Gemara, ein zel lav shel Torah, dekra baruge based in Iri, v'zo shalomana oso bechlal halavin. In other words, the pasuk says lo salin nivlaso alaitz. If talking about aruge beistin, for aruge beistin, that's when there's a lav. There's no lav de oraisa for regular mason. Now I think that there's certainly an asay de oraisa, because if you look at sefer mitzvos in mitzvos asay, it's clear that there's a mitzvah asay de oraisa. So why do we say that there's a mitzvah asay de oraisa, but not a lav de oraisa, according to the Radvaz? So the pshat is, because if you look at the pasuk, when it says ki kavortik berenu, it's stated generally, but on the lav, it says lo salin nivlaso al ha'etz. So he understood that's tafka talking about haruge beistin. Fine. So there's definitely asay de oraisa, and probably according to most, we've shown in the lav de oraisa. According to others, maybe only a lav de rabbanan, but clearly it's a very bad thing to do halanas hames one way or the other. And again, certainly it's a bitul asay de oraisa. The question is, at what point is one in violation of the lav of halanas hames? At what point do you do it? At what point are you in violation of the isser? Again, so the Shulchan Aruch says you're not over, obviously, if it's for kvod hames. But let's say it's not kvod hames when you're over on the lav. So the Radvaz says that you're only over if you're melin kol halayla, because it says lo salin, right? What does halana mean? Halana means the whole night. So if you did not delay the whole night, you delayed a couple hours, you could have done the kura at 4 in the afternoon and instead you do it at 9 at night, so still, you were not over on lo salin. And the Radvaz gives a number of rayos that halana is only if you do it ad haboker. For example, he writes, ksiv lo yalin, well, first of all, he says, kol lina ha'amura batora, enu ela kol alayla, dechsiv lo salin pulas sachir itcha ad boker. And the halacha is, for example, if somebody is a daytime worker, you have to pay them upon the night, right? So let's say you don't pay them right away at night. Are you over? No. We say you have the whole night to pay them, right? If they're a nighttime worker, you have the whole day to pay them before you're over on the lav. And likewise, it says, lo yalin chelav chagiyad boker. When are you over on baltalin, in terms of a karbanos over there? The Gman Tzvachim sounds like at the end of the night. So he says, "Hare lecha, stam lina ad haboker."
Could you kind of care it?
You
need to say the reason the pasuk gets to say
that. Good. So you're mechaven to other achronim. Very fair. I had the very same ha'ara as you, which is adarava. Every other place, every raya that the Radbaz brings, the pasuk says, "Lo salin ad haboker." Right? Lo salin chelav chagiyad haboker. Lo salin pulas chir itcha ad haboker. So they say exactly what Yoni said, which is, if anything, you see min astam lo salin isn't ad haboker. Apparently, the Radvaz understood that from those cases we see stam lo salin is ad haboker, but you could be medayk fakert. And many Rishonim, as well as Achronim, though none of them I think are quoted on the page of the Shulchan Aruch, All say not that way. The Magen Avraham, for example, Rabbi Jaeger's Medayik, assumes that you're over in Lo Salon at night. So obviously it's a much bigger chumra. In fact, the Divrei Sofrim wants to be Medayik from the Ramban on this pasuk that you're over at Shkia. It's actually a very interesting Ramban, very worth reading. He writes that, first of all, the lav is stated for anybody, and if even haruge based in Rishayim, you have to bury them immediately and you'd be over in Lo Salin, so certainly everybody else, right? Even people for whom we have no avelos, right? For haruge based in, the family makes a party after they die. There's no avelos for them, but still, ki kilas elokim talui, and they're tzalam elokim, and you have to make sure to bury them right away. And he writes, v'lachein siva Yehoshua, v'yoridum me'al ha'itzim. It's talking about the Malchei Canaan, that he made sure to bury them. So you see a very interesting thing over here.
Before sunset.
Which is why you see explicitly has to be done before the night. That's the raya. And you see also that from that it applies to non-Jews. Not all non-Jews, but the Ramban has a very fascinating mahalech on that pasuk. The pasuk says, after the Isser Lo Salon, Velo Sitma Es Ad Mascha. So, what does that mean? Whoa. I just did something funny to my computer. Anyway, Velo Salon Es Ad Mascha. What do we see from Velo Salon Es Ad Mascha? That in Eretz Yisrael, there's a second lav. Chutz Laretz, there's a lav and an asay. There's the lav of Lo Salon, the asay of Kavor Tikberenu. In Eretz Yisrael, there's a second lav. Lo Sit Mas Ad Mascha, by not burying in Eretz Yisrael, even non-Jews, one would be in violation of Lo Sit Mas Ad Mascha. That's what we mentioned yesterday, and we talked about the halachos of cadavers, dissecting cadavers for medical school. So in Eretz Yisrael, even if they're non-Jewish cadavers, it would be a problem according to the Ramban, because there would be a lav of Lo Salon. But we pointed out that the poskim don't quote this Ramban al HaTorah. But it is a fascinating idea. So he writes, again, that you're over on Tulavin, and that's why he was Kover Yehoshua, Kodem Shkia. And from here we learn that you can't do it. You're over in Baltalan even before Shkia. Fine. Now, you might have heard. Right. Yeah, correct. When at nightfall, one would be over on the lav, assuming that it's not Halinu Lechvodo. Now, you might have heard. Now, let me just important to stress this, meaning to say, what that means is the following. Obviously, if you're not over on Baltalin, so there's still an Indian of reason, but we might not be as urgent about it. So if to delay for a couple minutes, call it for 10 o'clock instead of 9:30 or the like, we'll be okay with that. But once you might be over on Baltalin, whether you think that happens at the beginning of the night or the end of the night, so then we'll obviously be much more concerned, and we'll see in a moment how that's manifest in halacha in a number of ways. Now, there is a minhag in Yerushalayim that you might have heard of, that even though the halacha is generally that you're allowed to be melin lechvodo, but not in Yerushalayim, and that's based off of a gemara in Bava Kama, pei beis mid beis. It says over there, in melin and sameis b'Yerushalayim. So the Nefarshim explain, what do you mean, Ein Melinin Esameis B'Yushalayim? Also, everywhere, Ein Melinin Esameis. So the Shita Mekubetzes and the Yom Shel Shlomo and others explain, Kamash Malan, that even Lechvodo is Aser Yushalayim, we're not Melin Lechvodo. And that's a Pasak of the Gesher Chaim. However, some say even for a Nefel, even for Atzamos and Evarim, but this might only be in the old city of Yushalayim. That's when this Takana applies.
Did everyone subscribe to meaning that? Does everyone hold that? I didn't say Kuna or Rada.
About what? Yushalayim?
Yeah. Does everyone agree with that kind
of? I don't know. The sign that I saw, bring it down, based off of the Gemara.
Okay.
But again, it might just be in the old city,
yeah,
as
right.
we said.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, how long could you be melin lechvodo? So the Piskei Taisva said, afilu kama yamin. In other words, as long as that's the kavod. So that's the kavod. However, the Divrei Malkiel is a very big chiddush. I don't think we pasken this way. He says, no, only 24 hours is mutar lechvodo. Where in the world did he get that from? Based off of the Zohar. The Netziv says that not just lechvodo, meaning kvod hames, but even kvod hachai. I'm not sure what that means. The Netziv. But perhaps what you do see, and we discussed this yesterday, is that if this would be something that the mace would appreciate, so then that's begader halana lechvod hames. For example, we saw in the Rashba yesterday.
But now the Netziv isn't necessarily requiring that.
No, I'm not sure. I don't know exactly what the pshat in the Netziv is. But the Rashba we saw yesterday said that Machnisin is a mesla in the case of Mes Avshel Chasan or Imo Shokala, Machnisin es a mesla cheder, and Bol and Bilas Mitzvah. So the Rashba, if you remember, asked, what do you mean? Is this a deraisa to have Tash B'Shemitah, according to the Gaonim? He says, well, it means we're Machnisin es a mesla cheder until the next day, then it's no longer Avelos deraisa, and then we do it. So how do you push off? What about Halanas and Mace? And the Rashba says something along the lines of this is what the Mace would have wanted. So you see that even though that's not a direct, straightforward Kavod HaMace, but it's a Ke'ena Kavod HaMace, because it's carrying out his wishes, and that could be grounds for Kavod HaMace. The Stechemed writes, there's no Isser if you're melin es hames mipnei chashash chilul Shabbos. In other words, you're not sure. You could probably get this levaya done before Shabbos and nobody would be machal Shabbos, but you're it's risky, it's iffy. Says clearly, then that's not a problem. Says why? Because ein lecha malin mipnei kavod gadol mizah v'hames nichalei. Okay, that's kavod Shabbos. Now, so the Shulchan Aruch says that you're mutter to be melin, so krovim could come. Again, here the Divrei Malkiel is very machmir. He says krovim could come. That means if there's no krovim, but if there's already one karov, then you can't be melin. But again, why that should be. Now, if you look at the Pesche Tshuva over here, he has a very interesting Pesche Tshuva. The Pesche Tshuva is a discussion about a certain psak of the Chacham Ramad. Anyone figure out who the Chacham Ramad is? No? Ramad stands for Rabbi Moshe Midasau. Now anyone know who he is? More famously known as Moses Mendelssohn. So a whole dion in the poskim about a psak of the Chacham Ramad. What did Ramad say? That nowadays doctors don't know exactly when the definition of death has arrived. You can't know for certain that a person has died until their flesh starts to rot. So therefore, you're not allowed to bury until that point. And he brought a raya from the Gemara and Nida that the Basar is metamei ad sheyisakel. And then he brought a raya from Maseches Machos. Remember, we saw this earlier, that that you can mefaktim es hamesim. And he says, well, that was only because they buried in Kuchim. So therefore, you had the option to check to make sure they're actually dead. But now that we bury underground, so we have no choice but to wait until we could really be certain that they're dead. And even though they're no longer breathing, and there's no sign of life, nevertheless, We must not bury them.
What about the Gemara in Sanhedrin?
So, what Gemara in Sanhedrin?
That there's only kapara, shenisakla, basu, the location being.
That's a good raya. Anyway, the Yaivitz.
And what was the raya?
His raya was that this once the kapara, once nisakla basar, so the kapara happens, which is clearly after kvura, the Gemara takes for granted. Because it was before kvura.
Wait, I don't know. Was Moshe saying that it's a raya so they didn't come to the Gemara? That's what we should do now, since we don't know.
Well, a little bit of both, because he tries to bring raya from Chazal also. Right? By mefaktim. Not clear. Not clear. Anyway, the Yaivitz and the Chassam Sofer were very much opposed to this psak of the Ramad. The Yaivitz was Machalei Mea Uchli B'Uchla Lo Nasa Lo Panim. Okay, we know that the Yaivitz, when he disagreed with you, he didn't hold back any blows. Anyway, there are many, many rayos that are brought against this psak from the Chassam Sofer. But what about the raya? We actually mentioned this a little earlier by Mefaktin. What about the raya that he brought from Maseches Machos? So the answer is that was one in a thousand years that type of thing happened. But it's clear that wasn't a reason not to bury. Adarabba, it's clear that they always buried right away. And he brings many gemaras that they buried right away. And Chazal told us that how to define death. It's based off of breathing, and if the person isn't breathing and the like, then we know that he's dead. You don't have to be afraid that he's alive, and therefore you should bury immediately, or as soon as you can, once you know with certainty he's dead. And the halacha, even though for pikuach nefesh we're concerned for a safek and a sveika, but something that happens once in a thousand years, we're not choshish for. Which is an important thing in terms of also like pikuach nefesh and Shabbos, right? You have a shiloh that comes up. So there's a muted that there might be a sakana here. So some Shabbos says, well, sometimes we're not machal Shabbos. Now, usually, it's not really relevant. I think anytime somebody would go to the hospital during the week, they should probably go to the hospital on Shabbos if it's a concern of pikuach nefesh. But this type of extreme case, like you said, something that happens once in a thousand years, so then that doesn't constitute pikuach nefesh. Fine. The Chavos Yair discusses how much you have to be motzi mamon for this thing, because it's a lot. We know the general rule is that for lavin, a person has to be willing to spend all the money. For asay, so a chomesh. So, what about this? It's a lav and an asay, so maybe you have to spend all your money. So,
on kvura.
So, for example, the Chavos Yair is asked about a government that took away a body, and he said that he held the body, and he said, only if you pay this humongous ransom will I allow you to bury it. So he says you don't have to pay. Why? Because who's over on Baltalin? In this case, it was the Tsar that was over on Baltalin, not the relatives. And therefore, they're not in violation of the Lo Sase. And therefore, they wouldn't have to spend all their money to redeem him. Okay.
What about in the general case, though?
Well, usually in a general case, it's not an issue. You know, how much you have to spend on kfura?
Someone wants you to pay an incredible amount of money to bury.
Why are they asking for so much money?
They're expenses.
No, so they're expenses. Regular expenses, of course, you have to pay. As we said, from the... generally speaking, it's going to be from the estate. You don't really have to pay. He pays for his own kvura. Technically speaking, if there's no Yerusha, the krovim aren't chayev. Then the tzibor's chayev.
Right, that's it.
But they should do it, obviously, if they can. Okay. So the Gemara says that kol ha-meisim, if you're memar lo tziyam min abayis, that's meshubach. Why? Because it's not kavod to be omid lo hesped. Or Rabbein, that's what the Shach says, based off the Nimuk Yosef. Rabbein Yerucham says it's because to show that they're mekabel bi'avag zeres hamelach. But for Avi v'Ima, we say it's meguna, unless it's Erev Shabbos, or it's going to rain, or the like. Fine. Simen Shin Nun Ches. The Rama writes, V'yesh lahamdin melakavro ad shiuchlo l'shar shekfar spalalu rov hakahal. And there's no chiluk between Kriya Shema Shel Shacharis or Kriya Shema Shel Arvis. Some say no, Kriya Shema Shel Arvis. In other words, let's imagine you want to make a levay in the morning, right? So a Sunday morning, right? We see the levay is scheduled for a Sunday morning. So what time should you make the levaya? So maybe you would think that look, we have a mitzvah sasei to do it as quickly and mitzvah slow sasei. So let's do the levaya at 7 a.m. Okay, and. You know, but what about Shacharis? Well, it's a summer. You could daven Shacharis at 6 a.m. But we all know that in most communities, we could not say that Rov HaKahal has finished davening at the 7 a.m. on Sunday morning. So the Rama says, okay, so you should be mamtin for Rov HaKahal to finish davening. So I don't know, let's say, don't have it before 9 a.m. So the question is, first of all, what happened to the Isser of Halana? And so that's not a problem, because anyway, like we said, they're burying it that day. There's no lav of halana, because the kfura, whether they have they call the levaya for 7 a.m. or 9 a.m., they'll certainly have him buried before nightfall. But the problem is that the Gemara and the Makoros say that for Kriya Shema we do this, but not for Shemona Esrei, not for Tefillah. So to answer this question, you have to look back at the source of this halacha in the Ramah. It's coming actually from Rabbeinu Yonah. And the chiluk, I think, is like this. For Shema, even if lo higia zman, we say that, let's say the zman of Kriya Shema begins at 6:30 and ends at 9. 6:30 a.m. and ends at 9 a.m. So if the Levaya, now we want to have the Levaya at 6 o'clock. It's not even Zman of Kriya Shema yet. But if we wouldn't finish the Levaya until 9 o'clock, so then we push off the Levaya to, even though it's not yet even the Zman of Kriya Shema, because we don't want everybody to miss Kriya Shema. If you did start the Levaya, so then Taka, the people might miss Shema. That's the halacha, the osik b'mitzvah, patim b'mitzvah, but we should start it. But when it comes to tefillah, we don't do that. When it comes to zman tefillah, we would start the levaya. But once the zman tefillah has arrived, so then we don't want to start the levaya until rov hakahal has davened. So going back to my example of Sunday morning, the zman tefillah has come by 7 a.m., so even if you'd want to have the levaya at 7 a.m., you shouldn't have the levaya at 7 a.m. You should wait till 9 o'clock or whatever it is until rov hatzibur was mispalo. The Rama over here in Lashon Shulchan Aruch doesn't quite sound that way, but if you look at the source in Rabbeinu Yonah, I think that's what comes out. Okay, Simen Shin Nun Tes. So the Tosefta states, quoted by the Ramban, that Makom Shenagul Lios Avelim Holchen Achar Mita. So that's what you do, Holchen and Lifnei Mita Holchen. And there's different symbolisms for each, whether the men go first, the women go first. Each one has its own reason. But Lamaisa the Bach writes that Ha'idna Laka Minag Balichas Avelim Ela Holchen. Bein Shar Ha'am, how the Avelim go, do they go first, do they go last, we don't have any minute. Fine. But then there's a very important halacha in Siv Beis that we do need to talk about, a very lamaisa. And that is, the Beis Yosef quotes a Zohar, not every day that you see that, and the Zohar says that Sheish Lemnoa Lenashim Elatzeis Lebeis HaKvaros, that's what the Beis Yosef writes. Shouldn't allow women to go to Beis HaKvaros, because if they do, it causes a lot of bad to the world, and therefore you should prevent them. And this is Paskin in Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch writes, Yishlam Latzis Nashim Beis HaKvaros Achar Amita. It's interesting, it says Achar Amita. Is it only then? the Beis Yosef sounds like at all, in which case the Shulchan Aruch means even lachar amita, where they would otherwise be doing a mitzvah, still, you shouldn't do that. Now, what does that mean? They shouldn't go to the Levaya at all? So the Shachs of Kan Beis says, no, it doesn't mean they don't shouldn't go to the Levaya. They could mutar salachas achar mita, but they shouldn't reach the basic vows. In other words, they start, they go to the Hasbedim, and they should be Malava the Mace and the like, but whereas the men are Malava the Mace all the way into the basic vows to the actual Kfura, women should not do it. Why? Because it's dangerous. Okay. Now, the problem is that if you actually look at the Zohar, so it doesn't say what the Beis Yosef says. Adrabba, it says that if you go to the Beis HaKfaros, the women go, it could be a very good thing. It just says you have to be very careful because it's very dangerous. But it doesn't say that it's Aser. That's the question that the Orach Mishor asks on the Beis Yosef and everybody else who follows him. So apparently, the Beis Yosef understood that, and he held that, yeah, it's true, the Zohar doesn't say you shouldn't do it. The Zohar just says to be very careful when it's done. But since we don't know how to be careful, so therefore, you shouldn't do it at all, women shouldn't go to the Beis HaKfaros. But it's clear, as the Poskim, the Achronim here note, that from the Gemara, you can't say that women shouldn't go to the Beis HaKfaros. Women in the Gemara did go to the Beis HaKfaros. And it's clear that this Isser, that the Beis Yosef quotes, based off of the Zohar, is not an Isser Medina de Gemara, and even not even an Isser Medina de Zohar. And Adrabba, it's a, in theory, it's a mitzvah for women to go be Melaves Ameis, just as it is for men. It's just that there's some type of danger. Obviously, the danger that we're talking about here is a mystical danger. It's not something that we see, but that's what the Zohar says. So, if you actually look, I should be a little more clear here. There are two issues. One, which isn't a Gemara, is the Gemara does warn against having irbuvia between men and women at the Levaya, and that's based off of the pasuk in Zechariah that says v'saftos aretz, and it says the men were here and the women were here separate. So that problem of irbuvia could be solved by separating the men and the women. And then there's the second source, the mystical source, that says women shouldn't go to the Beis HaKfaros. So, what do we do? So here really we have different minhagim. There are some communities. I think this is the Hasidic community. I remember when my wife's grandmother passed away, my wife's grandmother was Hasidish, and she was planning to go to the Beis HaKfaros, and they told her she shouldn't go. So I don't know if that's true for all Hasidim or just her Hasidus, but some Hasidim don't do it. Generally speaking, I think communities that are more concerned with Kabbalistic sources are more concerned about this. And communities that are less concerned about Kabbalistic sources are a little less concerned than this. I saw one posek write that it's very dangerous for a woman to go, and especially if she's a nida or she's pregnant. So what should she do if she has to go? She should go in very dark sunglasses. Okay, what does that help? Because the Ramban talks all about, we don't understand this stuff either, about anida and vision and eyes and this and that. Okay? So apparently, if you wear sunglasses, it solves the problem. Okay? I don't know. Don't know what it means. But anyway, where does this idea of pregnant women not going, by the way, comes from? If you look right in the Beis Yosef, it didn't say anything about pregnant women. So the Menachas Yitzchak has a whole long tshuva about this. It's in Chelak Yodzim and Mem Beis Oz Beis. He thinks, he has different theories. He says maybe the minag of pregnant women not going to Levayas comes from the fact that if she's married to a Kohen and she might be carrying a male child, it would be a problem. And somehow or another, people got confused and extended that to all pregnant women. Now, even if she is a Kohen, it's not necessarily a problem. Some say that a woman married to a Kohen who's pregnant could still go to a Beis HaKfaris because it's a Sfek Sfeka. Safek Zachar, Safek Nekeva, Vimtim Talomar Zachar, Shema Nefilhu, Sal Pi Rov, it would be Mutter. Some say, well, you shouldn't rely on that nowadays because we have sonograms. Some say, okay, but who says you have to be Mevar? There's a discussion in Hilchos Sfek Sfeka. It's not so clear that if you have a Sfek Sfeka, Shefshel Levar, Tzarch Levar. Some say, well, here it's worse because it's not just that Shefshel Levar. It actually says it on her chart. So you might go ahead and tell your doctor, please don't tell me the gender. But they were already Mevarer, and it's right there. It, for sure it is. Why not? Yeah, but you don't... we're not learning Hilchos Sfek Sfeka, but there was also Rov in those days. There's still... You have a total Rov. There's a Miut Nephilim nowadays. Right? Let's say you even tell me it's 1%. Okay? So 50-50 Zachar, and then the 1% Nephilim puts you in a Rov. No, that's what the Gemara says. The Gemara Nivamos. You have to figure out what that means. Does that indicate all Sfek Sfekas in Mitam Rov? The like, won't get into the details. When we talk about Sfek Sfekas being Safek Ashakol, does that mean both Sfekos need to be a shakol? Or maybe if one is shakol, one isn't, that's good enough. Anyway, last summer we did a Hilchos Sfek Sfeka. And for some reason, none of you were there. It's in Boston Kollel. But you'll learn it this year. In Grus, when they learn Yerei Day, they do it properly. Not like in YU, when they do a Hilchos Kollel Sfek Sfeka. So you'll have a chance to learn these fascinating topics. Others say maybe it's not a problem for the Eishes Kohen because... it's a different reason, because it's Tuma Blua, or Tara Blua, right? Because it's inside the womb. What about if there's an opening, dilation? Anyway, interesting shilas, but not for now. Lemaisa, what should women do in terms of going to pregnant, in terms of going to cemeteries? So they should follow their minhag. You should follow their local minhag. And different communities have different minhagim on this topic. Okay. Simen Shin Samech. So, the halacha is, this is when you have a conflict between Hachnasas Kala and Levayas Hameis. So we say Hachnasas Kala Kodemes. Why? Important rule. Shach says, based off of the Chazal, Mitzvah Chaim is Kodemes, the Mitzvah Smeisim. Okay. Shin Samach Aleph. Yeah. That's after the Levaya. That's after, like, the basics. But you're right. Tov Alachas Beis Avon Vachsmei Mishnah. Ein Shem. Good. Shin Samach Aleph is a very important simon. A very important simon. Mamish important. Which is, Mivadlan Talmud Torah for Otzas Hameis. Right? What do we do? What do you do? You're learning in yeshiva, and you know that there's a levaya, so do you have to stop? Should you stop? Is it usher to stop? What's the halacha?
That we're learning that everyone has to go.
So let's see. That's what we're going to learn.
In a different simon. Didn't we say that everyone, like, when that's...
Let's learn. This is the simon. Now we're going to do it. Now, after you do this simon, you'll know what that simon is. So it says in Ksubos, Yitzayin, Amid Aleph, Yitzayin, and Beis, Mevatlan Talmud Torah, Lotzas Hameis, Ulachnasas Kala. You're Mevatl Talmud Torah for Tzas Hameis. Okay? But the Gemara says that's only Ksheini Mokol Terko, meaning to say, if there are not enough people to properly be Mechabed, the Mace, or the Chasen Kala, again for us, Mace, but if there is Kol Terko, then you don't have to stop learning to go to the Levaya. Well, Kama Kol Terko. So there are different opinions in a Gemara. One opinion in the Gemara is it's 12,000. But the Gemara concludes, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Nitilasa Kenisinasa Beshishim Ribo. Just like the Torah was given with 600,000, so too it was taken with 600,000. Meaning, say, that how much... how many people have to be at the Levaya for it to be a Lefi Chavodo? 600,000 people. So there haven't, you know, most Levayas don't have 600,000 people. But the Gemara says, Hani Mili, Lamanda Kari Vatani. Avalamanda Masni, when do we say 600,000 is enough? That's if he's Kari Vatani. Sounds like it means he learns. But if he's Masni, what does that Masni mean? So Rashi says it means Masni Lacherim. That's the Pesach of the Shulchan Aruch. But the Torah says that Masni means Shashim Eish Talmid HaChachamim, which is an interesting pshat. Either way, if he's Masni, then less lay shiura. 600,000 is not enough. There's no shiur. Okay. Now, this is very important. So, what, you know, what does this mean? What does this mean in practical terms? So the Sefer HaMitzvos, Moshe Mikutzi, says what? Achshav b'chol adam Yisrael mevatlin min astam. Shikulin milayin mitzvos kerimon. Ein lecha echad mi Yisrael, she'eno o b'mikre o b'mishnah. He says, when the Gemara says, kari v'tani, I think he reads it as kari otani, meaning either mikre or mishnah. So, there's no one who lecha echad mi Yisrael, she'eno lo b'mikre o b'mishnah. There's somebody, epis, a Jewish person, the stummies learned a little bit, right? So everybody is this level, and therefore, unless there's 600,000 people, you have to be mevatel talmud Torah. Okay? So that would presumably mean we have to go to a lot of levayas. A lot of levayas.
Even if there's 600,000 people?
No. No, I don't know if he's saying that's if he's masni. Right? Masni is ein lo shir. Kari v'tani, there's a shir, 600,000. So he's saying that everybody in Yisrael is kari v'tani. Right, which he understands to be obimikra obimishna. So, but practically speaking, that's everybody, because except for like Rav Avadia Yosef, there isn't 600,000 people at your levaya. So that would basically seem to indicate that every single levaya we have to go to, which wouldn't be very good for Talmud Torah.
How far do you have to go?
So,
oh, sorry.
Got there. Now this is the psak of the Ramah. We'll see, the Mechaber doesn't pasken this way, but that's the psak of the Ramah, that based off the smak, that anybody, all of Kol Yisrael, because everybody is Kari Otani. Now, if you look at the Aruch HaShulchan, he has an interesting comment on this Ramah. He says, well, that was according to their generations, but in our generations, there are lots of people that are lo b'mikrev, lo b'mishnah, even though they're Shomer Mitzvos. Okay? I don't know if that's true nowadays. But the Mishneh Berurah, interestingly, or the Chafetz Chaim, in Sefer Avos Chesed, where he discusses all these halachos, says, no, b'yameinu, there's practically nobody, ein lecha adam b'Yisrael, she'ein lo yediya b'mikro b'mishnah. So it's agav, it's very interesting. Where did the Chafetz Chaim live? Radin. Where did the Aruch HaShulchan live? In Nevardik. You know how far they are apart from each other? About 30 miles. So, the Chafetz Chaim looked at his world and he said, there's practically nobody who is not b'mikro b'mishnah. The Aruch HaShulchan, Chil Epstein, 30 miles away, looked at his world and he said, there are lots and lots of people that are lekka o b'mikro b'mishnah.
Okay? He was a rabbi.
So, okay. Baby, I'll let you decide what's pshat in their machlokas. But anyway, it's at the very least an interesting hara. Yeah. David's asking a gevaldic question. What about Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam? So let's try to answer that question. So the answer is very simple. Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam tells us a very important halacha, which is that we're not mevatel Talmud Torah for mitzvos if they're efshar le'asos al yidei acherim. If it's efshar le'asos al yidei acherim, so we say you should do the mitzvos. Talmud is made al yidei ma'isa. If you were to learn instead of doing the mitzvah, So that's wrong, because Talmud's maybe li de masa. But if it's EF Sharali de Ascherim, so what's the halacha? Then you're mevatel Talmud Torah. So even though, objectively speaking, when Levayas HaMeis for Talmud Torah, we say Talmud Torah connected Kulam, but we have a rule. We have a rule that anytime it's EF Sharalas like de Ascherim, then mevatlin Talmud Torah to do the mitzvah. Now, what is Efshar Lasa Adei Achirim? So that means that if they're going to have the right number of people in the Levaya without me, they're going to be 600,000 people anyway. So then, good, I should go on learning. But if there's not going to be 600,000 people in the Levaya without me, there's actually going to be 200 people at the Levaya. So it's basically will not be done without me, and every additional person helps, and therefore we don't say Talmud Torah connected Kulam. We say that this is Mevatlin Talmud Torah for a mitzvah b'makom she'ef shalayasos haydei achirim. Wow. So, what do we do? So we're going to talk about the Minhag HaOlam. I guess we'll, in just a minute, before we get to, we'll talk about how this is practically observed. But first, just going through the tour. So what about women? What about women? Women don't learn. So that's why the Ramban and the Ritva and the Shulchan Aruch, this is the Yesh Omer and the Shulchan Aruch, and the Shulchan Aruch says this is the Minhag, that you don't have to go for Isha Vitinok Delokari Vitani. Does everybody agree to that? No. The Rush, as understood by the tour, says, not true. Why? We're not going to penalize her, because anyway she's not mutal aleha, and especially since she's a hira belimud baneha uvaila, it's commanded kari vitani, and that's the yeshomim in the Shulchan Aruch. Meaning to say that the idea, you could see this in a positive way and a negative way, and maybe both are true. The Levush points this out, meaning to say it's only a man who's lo kari v'lo tani that you don't have to do it, because he's supposed to learn and he hasn't learned, so then we say, okay, you don't need to go to his levaya but for a woman, she's not obligated, so memela, there's no reason why the lack of 600,000 is a reason not to go, and be'etzem we apply Natilasa Kinesinasa, and then look at it in a positive way, even if she's someone who never learned, so, but still she supports learning. And that's the tour and the rush say, if you support learning, that's the same as learning in terms of our obligation to be Mechabed. Just like we have to be Mechabed Lom De Torah, we have to be Mechabed supporters of Torah, Machzike Torah. And the women are the Machzike Torah. So Memela, you have to be Mechabed them. And then the Levush adds, moreover, women do learn. They learn minastam, the halachos that are shayach to them. And nowadays, kavachomer. And therefore, certainly, you do have to go for women. Fine. So, that is the halacha for women. What about if you're someone who's low kari v'lo tani? What's the halacha there? So the Torah and Shulchan Aruch write, then you only need a sara, 10 people, a minion, so you could say Kaddish and Shura. You don't have minastam. If you're learning, you could assume that there's 10 people, you don't have to go. Oh. Now, how long do you have to participate in the Levaya? You have to be Malava, but what if you're Malava a little bit? You have to go all the way to the Beis HaKvarus? So the Sefer Avas Chesed, the Chafetz Chaim, says it's mashma that you have to be misasik ad achar kfura. In other words, you have to participate. It's not enough to just go to this bathe and then, you know, do what we do, which is very most people. They're after this bathe, the hearse pulls out and they're malave for like a block or two, and then the hearse drives to the cemetery and, you know, close friends and family continue to the kfura, and most of the people then go back home or do whatever they want. So the Chafetz Chaim says a pashup shad is you have to be malav all the way to the kfura, and maybe that's even yikr. But he notes already, Ein ha'olam nizhar b'zeh. Most people don't do this. Most people do what we do nowadays, which is that after they're milave a little bit, then they go back home. So the Chafetz Chaim says, what's the pshat? They hold that mevatlin talmud Torah is dafka lelave lechud. And once you're milave, then you can go back to your learning. And that's because you're being mechabed the person, and you're being mechabed Torah by being malav a little bit. Mashein came b'kfura, as long as there's a minion of people in the kfura and the like, then you're not being mevatel the mitzvah. And he says that's what people do. Puk chazimaya madavar, and the like. But the Divrei Sofrim points out that if the nifter is your relative or your shcheino, so then you should talk or go all the way to the basic pharos, the ligma lo chesed lavoso, afal pishish imo kol tzarko. Now what about if there's no minion? So then even if he's someone who's lo kari velo tani, you have to go. Who is this chiyav incumbent upon? Kol b'nei ha'ir. So therefore, what's the halacha if it's hard to go? It's cold, people have work and the like. So the Chafetz Chaim says you should make a goyel. Make a goyel, because everybody has the obligation to do it. So either set up a system where the community divides it up, or make a goyel. Sometimes this happens in yeshiva. You know, somebody comes in and they says, Nebuch, you know, there's this person being buried, we don't have a minyan for the kfura. Can people come? So maybe you'll say, okay, you should be coming to the yeshiva, because you should be going to people where they work. Why is it that these mitzvahs fall upon people that are otherwise learning? So maybe that's a good time now. But l'maisa, that's what happens. And l'maisa, it's oftentimes these mitzvahs do fall upon the bnei yeshiva, in which case it's their responsibility. And so what do you do? If you don't have volunteers, you should make a goral or something like that, so that the person is buried at least with an inyan. Now, who is this talking about? Right, that let's say if it's kari otani or kari vitani, machlokas, whether you need both or either one, that you need 600,000 people. So there's a yesh omrim in the tour that this shir is only said for meis mitzvah. Okay, so if we paskind like this yesh omrim, so then we would be in good shape. Right, I asked before, how is it? We learn in a yeshiva in New York. And in New York, there's probably several funerals every day for people that are kari otani, right? So maybe we should go to several funerals every day. So if you paskind like the Yesh Omer Minotaur, we'd be set. Why? Because none of them are meisei mitzvah. So almost none of them. So therefore, we're fine. But the Rush and the Tur and Taisvis, and this is a psak of the Shulchan Aruch, says, any meis, not true. The Rush was doicha that opinion. Any mace, kari otani or kari vitani, you need 600,000. There's a middle view. This is a view of the Rashba and Megillah Gemal and Base, and the Rashba in other places, as well as in the Muki Yosef, Ksubos on Hamad Base. And they make up Shar. Mace mitzvah, it's an obligation. Shar mesim, it's rishos. Meaning to say you don't have to be mevatel Talmud Torah, but you may be mevatel Talmud Torah. So that would be in accordance with what we do. But the question is, that's against the Shulchan Aruch. So maybe there's another Eitzah, another Yishuv for what we do. What do? Meaning to say, when we know the person, of course we go to the Levaya. But if we don't know the person, we don't go to random Levayas every day. So maybe there's another Yishuv. The Yishuv is, because when are you obligated to go? Maybe we'll say it's only when you see the mace. If you see the mace, so then, you know, it's passing by yeshiva. So then you have to go up and be malavet. But if you don't see the mace, it's true, you know. Happen to know that at Riverside Chapel, there's in the Upper West Side, there's a funeral today. But you don't see it. You're learning in a base medrash in Washington Heights. So maybe you don't have to go in that case. So this is a dispute among the poskim. If you look at the Beis Shmuel, Neven Hazar, Samen Samachay, Sif Gimel, so even if you're not Roas HaMeis, but Shama Sheish Meis Be'ir, Chayv Levatel Talmud Torah Ulavoso. And this seems to be the psak over here, the shach, sif, katan, hey. Now again, in the olden days, or in a small town, that's very feasible. Because, you know, how many levies were there? But in a place like New York, it's not shayach. So the Netziv already writes that if you look carefully at the Torah, it sounds like you're only chayv levatal tama Torah if you're roeh es hameis. And also, you could be medayik that way from the Shulchan Aruch Siv Gimel that says haroeh es hameis ve'enu melaveihu. And the Netziv writes shekein ama davar she'en mevatlin mimalacha, right? We didn't get to it yet, but the halacha is not only are you mevatel tama Torah for otzas hameis, but also you're mevatel for melacha for otzas hameis. We're not mevatel tama Torah or halacha unless you see it or you know the guy or the like. But otherwise, we're not mevatel. Okay. So I guess we're out of time. So I want to, first of all, remind all of you to take the Bechina and recommend, as I mentioned before, that you do it quickly. Quickly means within a week. Okay? Now, my recommend, I'm going to email it to you because I didn't have a chance to print it, so I can't give it to you. So I'm going to email it to you. Right now, what I want you all to do is, if you don't mind, is put your emails down on this, because I have your texts, but I don't have your emails. So write down your name over here, and I will email you the Bechina Bezus Hashem. And even though, you could here, pass it around, just put it right in, it'll be easier.
Oh, make it in your computer.
Right into my computer, over there. My recommendation is, even though you might feel like you need a lot more than a week for Chazara, maybe you need a year for Chazara, but you should still do it and take the Bechina anyway, even with imperfect Chazara, and you'll do proper Chazara after you take the Bechina at some point. But don't push it off, because when it gets pushed off forever, and then people want to get smicha, and it's been 3 years since they learned Hochot. It's not even smicha, they want to get Chaga smicha, and it's 3 years ago since they learned it, and it's a mess.
Yeah.
Okay? So that's number one. Number two is I just want to thank you all for a tremendous, tremendous limud. Mitzidi, that has been a very, very geschmack. And even though I know we've been a little bit rushed, and we didn't quite finish, but we're almost there, everybody should try to finish on their own. It's been extremely geschmack, and I want to thank everyone for Tzavsa and the Shailas, and their contributions. And Be'ezras Hashem, you should keep on going. In terms of Bechina, as I mentioned before, the structure of the test is going to be two sections. One is the questions based off of the Mekoros and the like, and that's it's open book, meaning to say open Torah, Beis Yosef, Shulchan Aruch, Gemara, and the like. Obviously, you're primarily responsible for everything in the Shulchan Aruch and the Torah Beis Yosef and Pesachei Tshuva, but also everything we said in Shir. The second part of the Bechina is going to be practical questions. I think 13 questions, the most 13 most practical questions that a rabbi's asked in Halachos Aveilus. And then I want you to answer as you would to, like the Baal Bas was answering. Don't start telling them 16 different shitos and this and that and all the, this is what the Beis Yosef says and this is what the Ramban says and Ritva. Just tell them bottom line, this is what you should do. Obviously it should be a position that's correct. There might be more than one answer for that. I told Adam he could answer this is what Ravadia would say or whatever. Fine. Anyway, and I also want to apologize for going late and today and almost every day.
I thought we got on
Kilon. Right. So, and then I want to apologize for finishing early. But thank you so much, and we should keep on going. That's the session.